Welcome to the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, I'm Janelle Eckerman, and today I'll be reading the Pantograph for Friday, May the 2nd, 2025. And as always, I'll begin with the front page, and the main article is Leading the Charge. Central Illinois women who earned Eagle Scout rank share experiences, and the article is written by Drew Zimmerman. Bloomington. Over the last few years, Refuge Food Forest in Normal received a batch of native pollinators. Merwin Nature Preserve in Lexington received a newly resurfaced walking trail, and Singing Woods in Mossville received benches, handrails, and other new amenities. These projects were all made possible by local women striving to achieve the highest honour the Scouts BSA program can offer, the rank of Eagle Scout. Since opening the doors for girls and women to join, the 115-year-old program has welcomed countless new Scouts who have learned essential life skills while also exploring new environments. Katie Heger, an Eagle Scout from Bloomington, said one of the most important things learned as a Scout is to take initiative. Unless you're leading the charge on your merit badge, it doesn't get done and you have to take the consequences, Heger said. You realise you do have to put the work in to achieve stuff. And this article is then continued onto page A3. In 2018, Scouting America, formerly known as the Boy Scouts of America, allowed girls into its Cub Scouts program for kids ages 7 to 10. The next year, girls were allowed in the Boy Scouts for kids aged 11 to 17, so long as they started their own separate, gender-specific troops. As a result, the Boy Scouts, which is the organization's flagship program, was renamed Scouts BSA. Obtaining the rank of Eagle Scout, which is a distinction held by 6-8% of all Scouts, requires a Scout to maintain a strong commitment to the program. Before becoming an Eagle Scout, a member of Scouts BSA starts at the rank of Scout and then becomes a Tenderfoot, Second Class, First Class, Star Scout, and then Life Scout. Heger said she first joined Scouts BSA because her brother was part of a troop, and while she may not have been a fan of the program at the time, she was looking forward to the prospect of environmental challenges and having fun outdoors. Heger became the fifth member of Troop 8888 at Bloomington Normal right before the COVID-19 pandemic hit. Since then, she has fished at Cache Lake in Ontario, explored Marengo Cave in Indiana, and visited the Philmont Scout Ranch in New Mexico. All the while, she worked toward attaining the 21 merit badges necessary to become an Eagle Scout. Of these badges, 12 are required for all Scouts and focus on topics such as first aid, environmental science, and citizenship to one's community, nation, and the world. Megan Letwiller, an Eagle Scout from Normal, joked that her mother was accident-prone, which was always the excuse for her troop to learn first aid. The other 9 can be of any other 130-plus badges offered by Scouting America. Some Scouts have pursued merit badges that closely align with their own interests and in doing so find a potential career path. Celeste Paul, the first woman to obtain the rank of Eagle Scout in the Peoria-based WD Boys Council, said she focused on a lot of science-based merit badges. She eventually earned her bachelor's degree in geology at Illinois State University, and now she is working on her master's degree at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. My interest in nature is to better society and get the resources we all use in a day, Paul said. Letwiller said for her elective badges, she chose ones focused on the environment, such as soil and water conservation and reptile study. These teachings encouraged her to pursue a biology and zoology double major while at ISU. One of the most significant requirements of the Eagle Scout rank is to spearhead a community service project. Heger said the trail rehabilitation project she worked on at the Merwin Nature Preserve was necessary due to the erosion issues caused by the trail's proximity to a river. Latwila's project involved planting native pollinators in the prairie garden of the refuge food forest in Normal. Years earlier, it had been discovered that cup plant, which can be very invasive in non-native habitats, was added to the garden. After the prairie patch was sprayed down to eliminate the cup plant, Latwila and a group of volunteers added the new native pollinator plants. Latwila credited Scouting BSA for improving her leadership skills. As the leader of her troop, Latwila said she was responsible for teaching the other scouts, which required strong communication and other skills. Everything that goes into being a really good leader, I've learned a lot in that realm, especially because of all the programs scouts have to offer, Latwila said. And with this article, there are several photos, and the main photo is from the front page, and the caption reads, Katie Heger of Bloomington oversees her community service project at the Merwin Nature Preserve, which helped her earn the rank of Eagle Scout. And that photo was provided by Katie Heger. The second photo from the next page, Katie Heger steers a motorboat during a trip with her scouting troop. Seeger is one of a handful of women in the area who have attained the rank of Eagle Scout. And that's also provided by Katie Heger. And the next photo is a section of trail on the Merwin Nature Preserve, which was refurbished as part of Katie Seeger's community service projects to attain the rank of Eagle Scout. And that photo was also supplied by Katie Heger. And the next photo is of Katie Heger Center and several other scouts prepare for a climbing and rappelling activity. And that was provided by Katie Heger. And the second last photo with this article is captioned, Megan Latwila, her Scouts BSA troop and other volunteers pose for a photo at Refuge Food Forest in Normal, which was the site of Latwila's Eagle Scout Community Service Project. And that photo was provided by Megan Latwila. And the last photo with this article is captioned, Megan Latwila on the right takes part in a high ropes course at Great Oaks Camp. And that photo was provided by Megan Latwila. And my apologies for any mispronunciations. And the next article from the front page is concerning higher education, and the title is ISU Heartland Community College Launch Transfer Partnership for Online Business Degree, and it was written by Matush Yannick. Normal. Illinois State University and Heartland Community College have a new agreement designed to streamline the transfer process for Heartland students pursuing an online bachelor's degree in business administration at ISU. The agreement, signed Thursday at Heartland and set to take effect in the fall 2026 semester, creates a pathway for working adults to begin their coursework at Heartland and transfer to ISU's College of Business to complete their bachelor's degree. The article is then continued on page A3. We're committed to providing accessible and affordable education that prepares students for long-term success, said Annie Yuzugin, Vice President for Academic Affairs and Provost at ISU. This agreement not only reinforces that commitment, but it also strengthens our relations with Heartland and supports students in our region, especially those who may experience barriers to access. Under the agreement, Heartland students who earn an Associate in Arts or an Associate in Science with a focus on business can transfer up to 60 credit hours toward a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration at ISU. Students will then take two courses every 8 weeks through ISU's online program. It offers more flexibility for students in their pursuit of that degree, said Heartland President Keith Cornell. This online option will help working learners individuals who may face the barriers of a commute or childcare demands, and others in need of a more flexible schedule. It is another way we are partnering to provide a pathway for students to complete our degree at a leading public university. On Tuesday, Heartland signed a similar agreement with Millikan University of Decatur to help Heartland students transfer to Millikan and choose from over 40 different Bachelor of Arts degrees there. This agreement will ensure guaranteed admission to Millikan for Heartland students who complete associate degrees in arts, science, or engineering science with a 2.0 cumulative GPA. The agreement will take effect beginning with the 2024-25 academic year. As higher education is being challenged by some, we, along with our friends at Illinois State University, as well as other institutions across the state of Illinois, stand together to ensure that individuals in our communities have a pathway to education and training that provides them a brighter future and strengthens the workforce throughout the state, Cornell said. And as Governor J.B. Pritzker works toward plans for some Illinois community colleges to offer four-year degrees, Cornell said these partnerships with ISU and Millikan align with the school's commitment to offering affordable and accessible education. If it becomes possible for Heartland to offer bachelor's degrees in the future, Cornell said it would likely be done so in collaboration with other schools, like ISU, and not until after a conversation has been had, Cornell said. I think this just again reinforces and demonstrates that strong partnership that we have between our two institutions. Yazijan said the agreements signed this week show there are many ways to meet students' needs and provide access to opportunities to pursue education in their desired field. This is a way to do that already, Yazijan said. There are existing partnerships in this community that allow students to pursue their baccalaureate degree in ways that are affordable and accessible. The main photo with this article from the front page is captioned, Heartland Community College Provost and Vice President of Academic Affairs Rick Pierce and Illinois State University Vice President and Provost Annie Yazijan signed a new agreement designed to streamline the transfer process for Heartland students on Thursday, May 1, 2025. And the next photo is of Annie Yazijan, Vice President for Academic Affairs and Provost at Illinois State University, talks about a new agreement designed to streamline the transfer process for Heartland Community College students on Thursday, May 1, 2025. And the last photo is captioned, Heartland Community College President Keith Cornell talks about a new agreement designed to streamline the transfer process for Heartland students to Illinois State University on Thursday, May 1, 2025. And the photos were provided by Matush Yannick from the Panagraph. And continuing on from the front page, the next article is in reference to the 2026 Senate race. And the title is, Early Senate frontrunner Juliana Stratton pledges to be fighter if elected. And the article was written by Brendan Moore. Springfield. It's common parlance to talk about an election as if it's a race. For Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, a five-time marathoner who ran in a 5K race just last weekend, this would typically be an appropriate metaphor, but these are atypical times. Stratton, 59, last week became the first major candidate to jump into what's expected to be a crowded race to succeed retiring Senator Dick Durbin. The Chicago Democrats' nascent campaign kicks off amid the backdrop of President Donald Trump's return to power in the nation's capital. It has been a turbulent few months. On again, off again tariffs have sown economic uncertainty. The threat of deep cuts looms over social programs such as Medicaid and Social Security, and a crackdown on illegal immigration has led some judges to rule that the administration disregarded due process rights. More than running a race, Stratton said she's gearing up for a fight. If there's anything that I hear from Illinoisans, it's will you fight for us? And Governor Pritzker continues to stand up and fight. I've been standing up and fighting for the people of Illinois, Stratton told Lee Enterprises in an interview on Wednesday. It's what we've been doing this entire 6.5 years of our administration, and I believe that we need that kind of fight in Washington, D.C. Stratton, Illinois' Lieutenant Governor since 2019 and a former state lawmaker, has quickly established herself as a front-runner to succeed Durbin. 2 days into the campaign, she received the endorsement of her boss, Governor J.B. Pritzker, who touted her fighting spirit and dedication to improving lives. Days later, she nabbed the backing of Senator Tammy Duckworth, who praised her tenacity, grit, and perspective. We're building momentum, Stratton said. People are expressing their support, and I really do believe that I'm building a winning coalition. So it's been exciting, she said. It's not going to be an easy road. It's going to be a lot of hard work, but I got ready day one and rolled up my sleeves, and I'm doing that work. Stratton will almost certainly face competitive opposition in the Democratic primary. Democratic U.S. Reps Raja Krishnamoorthy of Schaumburg, Lauren Underwood of Naperville, and Robin Kelly of Madison are all expected to announce campaigns of their own within the coming days and weeks. Treasurer Mike Frerich has also expressed interest. On the Republican side, Rep. Darren LaHood, R. Peoria, is said to be giving the race a look. With Durbin's departure, Illinois will lose someone with more than 4 decades of congressional experience and 2 decades as the number 2 Senate Democrat. That 1-2 punch of seniority and leadership created a level of clout that brought back a disproportionate amount of federal resources to Illinois for various projects and programs. No one will be able to fill those shoes, at least right away, but with at least 3 Democratic members of Congress exploring the race, there will be candidates who know the ways of Washington. Stratton, on the other hand, has no experience in federal office, but she doesn't view this as a handicap. In fact, the game has changed, she said. When I travel the state, I hear from people directly. I've been doing listening sessions. I've been going to different parts of our state. I've been to the Quad Cities. I've been to Rockford. I've been to the Metro East and other places. And I believe that we are in a moment that if we don't stand up and fight against what is happening, there won't be any resources to bring back. I mean, look at this plan. To cut $1 trillion to give Donald Trump's billionaire buddies a tax break, she said, referring to the House GOP plan to extend Trump's 2017 tax cuts and potential cuts to safety net programs to pay for them. So I think that, yes, we have to get to a point where we can talk about all of the policy issues and what we need to do to bring more resources. But if we don't get in and stop this damage that is coming out every single day, then what? We have seen the same old playbook in Washington, and it's not working, she said. It's not working, and this is a time when we need fresh voices, new perspectives, new leadership, and that's exactly what I'll bring to Washington, D.C. Stratton is in alignment with Pritzker in both style and substance. She has long called their shared governing record in the land of Lincoln, from raising the minimum wage to $15 per hour to enacting among the most liberal reproductive health laws in the country, a blueprint for what's possible as a country. And with some Democrats striking a conciliatory tone towards dealing with Trump, Stratton is on Team Fight, right alongside Pritzker, who at a New Hampshire Democratic Party fundraiser on Sunday criticised do-nothing Democrats who have been timid, not bold. "We have to stand up against what's happening," Stratton said. "We have to speak out and we have to sort of draw the line in the sand and say, I'm not going to allow you to continue to cause so much damage on the working families of Illinois." And so there's a level that we have to kind of look at in that mindset that this is a fight. On policy priorities in the Senate, Stratton kept it vague. She said she wants to promote economic opportunity and access to opportunity. As Lieutenant Governor, Stratton has travelled the state extensively. She has an LG on the Move initiative in which she documents her travels, which often include visits to small businesses and state parks across Illinois. She also chairs the Governor's Rural Affairs Council and has an Ag Connects Us All initiative that seeks to bring people together around the state's largest industry. So while the traditional upstate-downstate balance in Senate representation might end when Durbin leaves, Stratton stressed that she plans to run in all corners of and represent the entire state if she wins. "I've always taken my role seriously about representing the entire state, and that's why I went to those various communities," Stratton said. "People told me, you're not going to come back here, and I did. And I went not just to go and say, oh, look, I'm here, but to listen, learn, and figure out how in state government we can help their communities. People just want to know that there's someone fighting for them." Stratton is married with four daughters. She lives in Chicago's Bronzeville neighborhood. And with this article, there is one photo of Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, who poses for a portrait in Springfield on Wednesday. And that photo was courtesy of Joseph Ressler from the Herald and Review. And there is a smaller photo, which is captioned Durbin. And moving on to page A2, today's flicked fact. Question: Central Illinois parents and grandparents can remember a day when, as teens, their parents limited their telephone times in an entire household. Now, in an age of smartphones, parents instead insist that their children have their very own telephones, and at a much younger age. Do you know what percentage of 8-year-olds in Illinois have their own phone? And the answer is, according to an organization called Common Sense Media, nearly 50% of all 8-year-olds, that's generally second grade, carry around their own phones today. And as always, our commitment to accuracy from the Pantograph. We want you to tell us about issues regarding accuracy and fairness. Contact 309-820-3242 or ojacobs@pantograph.com. See past corrections at pantograph.com/corrections. And also from the same page, there are two smaller articles, and the first one is Illinois Symphony Orchestra director tapped to serve as assistant conductor, and it's written by Caitlin Klepik. Bloomington. Tachi Fukumara, music director for the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, has been selected as assistant conductor of the Cleveland Orchestra starting in fall 2025. "I am tremendously honored to join the Cleveland Orchestra as assistant conductor and to work alongside Franz Welser-Most and one of the world's most renowned ensembles," Fukumara said in a news release. Fukumara, who has been with ISO since June 2024, will continue to serve as music director for the orchestra that performs in Bloomington Normal, Springfield, and other areas, in addition to his role with the Cleveland Orchestra. "This opportunity marks a significant milestone in my artistic journey, and I'm profoundly grateful to the Illinois Symphony for their continued support and partnership. I remain fully committed to our shared vision here in Central Illinois and look forward to bringing all that I learn in Cleveland back to our vibrant musical community as we look ahead to an exciting new season, he said. Daniel Brownstone, board president for ISO, said it is a tremendous honor that Fukumara was selected for this assistant conductor role. This is a unique opportunity for Tachi Fukumara and one that will advantageously support the vision of our orchestra, he said. Fukumara will lead the Illinois Symphony Orchestra on Friday, May 2 at the UIS Performing Arts Center in Springfield and on May 3 at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts in Normal. The program includes Shostakovich's Fifth Symphony, Ravel's Piano Concerto in G with pianist Anne Jenishin, and Neighbor's Pulse. Tickets range from $34 to $69 at ISU, with a student price of $14. For more information, visit ilsymphony.org/passion. And the main photo with this article is captioned, Tachi Fukumara, Music Director for the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, speaks September 8, 2024, during the orchestra's gala celebrating 80 years of classical music. And that photo was courtesy of Carlos T. Miranda for the Panagraph. And from the same page, the next article is Main Gallery 404 to hold loose art sale this month, and it was written by Olivia Jacobs. Bloomington, Main Gallery 404 at 404 North Main Street will host its annual loose art sale from 5 to 8pm during First Friday, May 2 in downtown Bloomington. Artists will offer their unframed or unmatted artwork as the sale aims to give art lovers an opportunity to purchase and frame them any way they like, according to a news release. Artwork will include drawings, pastels, photographs, watercolors, oil paintings, and mixed media. The sale will continue through the end of May, and new artwork will occasionally be added throughout the month. The gallery is open from noon to 5 p.m. on Thursday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, or by appointment or chance. Contact maingalleryart@gmail.com or 309-590-6779 for more information. And with this article, there are several photos, and the first one is of artwork by Dale Evans, which is shown, and that was provided by Main Gallery 404. And the next piece of artwork is shown by Jane Wilson, and the next two photos are of artwork by Rose Tuttle and Jenny Bateman, and both photos were provided by Main Gallery 404. I'll take a short break and return with part two of today's reading of the Panagraph for Friday, May 2, 2025. Read by Janelle Eckerman. Please stay tuned.